5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench with Mafia, toll-free 844-843-6879 is the number. Tomorrow night, the Nets play in New Orleans against Zion and the Pelicans, and there'll be no KD. He's out with the thigh contusion, so he's injured again. What else is new? I mean, that's just bottom line, right? I mean, there's nobody more bummed out about it than the easy money sniper. I mean, Durant's a great player, 30 a game when he plays. And that's never, because he never plays. So he gives you 30 a night, you know, once a month. So it's a problem. He's become a massive issue for them. I don't care what anybody says. He gets injured when the wind blows. I mean, it's truly unbelievable. I actually think he's got terrible luck. He blew out his Achilles, bad luck. The other night, they're playing the game. And I think it was Ariza hit him with the knee on knee right into the thigh, bottom of the thigh. Done. He's out. You know he's going to be out. We'll see how long he's out this time. And in the spare time, apparently they got him talking about his favorite teammates. And then today on Coast to Coast, we reported that it was, bottom line, Kyrie, Harden, Curry, Thompson, and Ibaka. But the reality of it is, Mafia, I think, unless I'm missing some kind of sneaky story here, is that he never said Ibaka. He said it was Westbrook, because we said, oh, he left Westbrook off the list. And what I'm seeing is he never left him off the list. It's Irving, Harden, Curry, Westbrook, and Thompson. There you go. And he has no mention of Ibaka. And it is what it is. But I don't care who his favorite teammates were. I care that he never plays. It's just unbelievable. Do you think, Mafia, that they can win in the NBA playoffs when, frankly, none of them ever suit up? I mean, you might have one of them, two of them max. Three of them is out of the question. The three of them can't play together to save their ass.
Yeah, well, first of all, the teammates thing, he did say Ibaka initially and then realized he screwed up and took Ibaka out and put Westbrook in. So when he said the five at first, he said Ibaka and then, you know, switched it. So everyone's like, oh, wait, no, he didn't say Russell. I mean, he eventually did. It's not like, you know, when you're looking, you got what, 15 guys on a team, the guys played over a decade. You're going to have a lot of teammates to go through. And sure, you know, Westbrook should have been one of the first ones off his lips. But let's be honest, there's people who don't like playing with him. I mean, Harden didn't like playing with him. There's plenty of people who probably don't like the guy, even though he's a great player. So it is what it is. He doesn't have to be your favorite player. You could say that you didn't like him. That's not your top five. It's not a guy you don't want to play with. But that's neither here nor there. The thing with them, like you said, it's all about the health. You know, if they're together and they're playing, it's going to be awesome. You know, as far as the basketball ability of those three guys. But the two big questions for them when we put all this together, when they had the Harden trade, was one, could they share the ball? And they answered that because Kyrie did the smart thing and stepped back and said, listen, Harden takes it up, you know, and we'll all create off of him. So you're going to get all those guys' shots. They're going to find other things. They figured out how to make it work, even though they haven't all three played together. So we don't know that for sure, but we can assume. But the big thing after that was the health. We all mentioned it, that Durant's been hurt a bunch lately. Kyrie's been hurt a bunch in his last couple of years. So, you know, we didn't expect Harden to get hurt because he's the one that always plays. It was, can they stay on the floor? And the more you see Durant and Kyrie go down, you know, now it's Harden. The three of them all injured for big chunks of season at this point. I don't think you can trust it that they're going to stay healthy for a whole playoff run. At least one of them's going to go down.
So I'm hearing that he's actually, Harden's working on the court now to get back. I'm hearing that he's not shut down. He's actually working now, that he's doing some on-court stuff. So it can't be that bad. He might actually be coming back sooner than you think. Welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 204, Mighty Ear 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline Radio Networks, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah Soldier. It's Pharrell on a Bench with Mafia. Excuse me. So tomorrow night, the Nets are dogs in New Orleans getting two. Mafia, do you think Kyrie Irving can beat Zion and the Pelicans with Joe Harris and Claxton and Shamet and company in green on the road at the, you know, Bourbon Street at the Softy? You think they can get it done, or do you like Zion tomorrow night?
You know, those are two teams that are hard to bet on right now with the injuries to the Nets. And the New Orleans Pelicans just too often are inconsistent. You know, I've seen them go and beat the Bucks in one game. And then, you know, we just saw them get beat up by the Knicks. And you've seen other games where they just get blown out by teams they should beat. Because, one, they're not healthy ever either. You never have, you know, Zion and Ingram and Lonzo and all those guys on the court together for more than, you know, two or three games in a stretch before one of them sitting out either, whether it's resting Zion or Ingram banged up. So I can't trust the Pelicans as much as the Nets are banged up right now. You know, I'll take Kyrie and his cast of characters against New Orleans because they still make dumb young mistakes like we saw against the Knicks. And, you know, who knows? You might have Ingram out banged up. You might have, you know, Zion resting because they don't want to really stretch this kid out early in his career. I just can't trust that their whole lineup's going to be there. So if they're not all going to be there, I'll take Kyrie and those guys.
Yeah, actually, I think he's playing more minutes than he's played in his career. Like, so the restrictions, in my opinion, are off of Zion Williamson. The bottom line is the guy's an absolute monster. He's 26 a game, 7 boards, 3 dimes. He's playing in the neighborhood of somewhere around, you know, here he is for he's averaging 33 minutes. And that's more than his career. And his career was 31, now 33. And the last several games, he's been over 32.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us.
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So, in all honesty, I think Zion's had an incredible year, and he's literally, Mavi, I seriously don't think he's missed games at all. It looks to me like he's played in almost every single game. He's not the problem. Ingram's not the problem. Lonzo's missed games. But I think the problem is you know, they have two guys that produce, right? Ingram and Zion, and that's it. And that's the bottom line. I think Zoe's a really good player. I think he's tripping if he thinks he's going to get the money that he wants and that, you know, whatever his family wants and everything else. He's averaging, you know, 14 points a game and So, you know, Williams, I'm right about him. Zion has played, Williamson has played in every single game, and he averages 33 minutes. And this is the year they just unleashed him. He's healthy, and they've let him go. Ingram's never missed one game either. Ball's missed 9 games. Bledsoe has played in a lot of games, but I don't think Ball's going to get that money. The problem is, look at the drop-off. Williamson, 26 a game. Ingram, 24 a game, and then Ball's 14, Bledsoe's 11, Alexander Walker's 10, you know, Hart's 9, Adams is 7. Adams has fallen off the face of the earth. They have nobody. Marshall, 5.5 a game. I mean, they're awful. That's their problem. And here's the deal. Now, I know a lot of people think, Mafia, that he's, you know, talking about playing in New York, what it does for him. He loves New York. And it's obvious that when he got drafted, he wanted to be drafted by the Knicks at number one. And he went to the Pelicans. And then the Knicks ended up going third and getting R.J. Barrett, right? So the Knicks are happy. They love R.J. Barrett. He's playing great. And with Randall, it's even better. And they're hot. They're a good team. They're a playoff team. And they're going to the postseason. And so, and the funny thing is that Zion and the Pelicans, to me, are basically, you know, bottom line is, you know, they got two guys on the team that produce, and then that's it. So everybody else stinks. You know what I mean? Like, so if you look at them right now, they're not even in it. So they're on the outside looking in, and they're 3.5 games back of that last spot of the play-in games. They're not even going. They're 25 and 32. They're not even going at this point. They literally have to rattle off almost, you know, just about, they need to win 80, 90% of their games. The rest, there's a month left. And I just don't see it happening for them. And the reality is that the guy's talking about how much he loves playing in New York, and everybody says it's not happening. Because it's a pipe dream and all the rest. The reality is in 3.5 years, it's going to be reality. In 3.5 years, he'll be out of there. And then if it's not then, which I think it will be, when he becomes an unrestricted free agent and can do whatever he wants and go wherever he wants, he'll have so many offers make your head spin. And if he wants to play in New York, he will. He'll write and do it. Right out. He'll flat out, you know, do whatever he wants. He's got the right to do it. He'll write out and do it. And he loves playing at the Garden. And guess what? Here's a newsflash for you. They've turned it around. They're not great. They're not winning a championship. They're not going to do anything damage-wise, I would think, in the playoffs. If they're lucky, if they're even remotely lucky, they'll win a round. But more than likely, they'll lose. And you know, whatever capacity it is in terms of, you know, who's going. Well, right now, they're in the sixth spot, so they don't have to get involved in the play-in. They got a game lead over Miami in the 7, 8, 9, and 10 go. So Miami, Charlotte, Indy, and Chicago right now are going. But the deal is Washington's tied with Chicago now. So we'll see how it ends. And then Toronto's a half game behind them. So Charlotte's, you know, put it this way, Miami, Charlotte, Indy, Chicago, none of them are safe. I would think Miami and Charlotte are safe. They got a 2.5 game lead, Charlotte over Indy, and 4.5 games over Chicago and Washington, and 5 games over Toronto. And they got to make up 5 games, whatever. They're not doing it. So bottom line is that the Knicks are going, the Pelicans aren't, and then if he puts up with about three more years of losing, if he doesn't win, because unless they get more players, they're not winning. He can't do it himself. And people may think he can, and he is dominant. He's unbelievable, but he's not pouring in numbers like Steph Curry. He's not having 40 and 50-point games every night. But he is unstoppable right now at getting, you know, somewhere between 25 and 35, 40 points. The guy can deal, and he's unstoppable. He's a physical specimen. He's violently powerful and can dominate games. he's great. But when he's unrestricted, I mean, take a look at everyone that ever was that was there. They all left. CP3, Davis, he ran out of there to go to the Lakers faster than you could spit. What do you think Zion's going to do? Tell you he loves the jambalaya? That's what Davis said. I love the food and the people. So what? Everybody loves the food in New Orleans. Doesn't mean he's going to stay. And no one down there wants to hear it. I get it. It's not pleasant. It's not fun. I know what it's like, okay? You know, my Pirates are the worst. All they do is lose every single player they get. Always. I mean, always. Small market stigma. They got the, you know, low payroll, and no one that's good stays there. Not one player. Ever. They all leave. Every one of them. There isn't one player left standing. Ever. And I don't see any difference in frankly, the Pelicans. I think they're the same. I think that he says he likes playing there. Who's he kidding? It's fun. And now, if he loses for three more years, believe me, he'll be out of there. And just imagine, he's already got massive endorsements. Imagine what it'll be like in New York. And in 3 years, what's he going to be, 24, 25 years old? I mean, honest to God, what is he now, Mafia, like 20? Is he 20 years old? Something like that? I mean, this guy, are you kidding me? When he's a free agent and he can roll, this guy's going to have more offers than you can shake a stick at. The whole league, every team in the league will want him. He'll go wherever he wants. And you saw his face light up when he talked about New York? I mean, you would have thought he was at a comedy club. He was laughing so hard. The smile on his face was ear to ear. It's pretty obvious. He said he loved playing there in college at Duke. He said he loved playing there as a pro. He said it was his favorite arena. Boom. He said, you know, besides New Orleans, which, you know, he's just saying that because he plays there. In reality, yeah. I'm sure he tells his friends and his mom he'd rather play at the Garden in New York. He even said,
him talking about New Orleans was the same afterthought that Durant gave Westbrook. It was like, I love New York. It's the greatest place ever. Oh, yeah, and New Orleans. Like, Durant, I love them, all these five guys. Oh, yeah, and Westbrook, too.
Yeah. Trust me, this guy, he's saying all the right things now, but I think he tells his mom before he goes to bed on the phone, trust me, I'm gonna get to New York in 3 years. Seriously. And guess what? Thibodeau's already got him playing good. They play D. They got the best defensive team in the league. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to believe it, but it's true. Against the three, against the two, best defense against the shot, field goal percentage defense. No one wants to believe it, but it's true. And they're playing D. They're winning. They just rattled off six wins in a row. Fans are coming back. And when that Garden is full, forget it. It rocks like no other. It
it's
rocks
not a
like
lie
no other.
If you believe it.
That's just all there is to it. When that place is full, it is. The Mecca is New York. People say L.A. is the Mecca now. New York's the Mecca. Know that. Live it.
Scott, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with Mafia. We got Sean Keeler of the Great Denver Post with us now to talk about everything going on in the Mile High City. Sean told Mafia that they got like 9 inches the other day when the Mets game was snowed out. I actually saw the Mets plane land in Denver. Mafia and I have landed in Denver before. We've seen the snow. We've seen it all. But it's crazy. I've actually, you know, been out there a million times skiing and there, everything else, a couple times. It's a great place, but I just am not interested, Sean, in 10 inches of snow in the middle of April. You can kiss my ass, okay? I need that like I need a hole in the head. After it's been snowing feet after feet after feet in the Rockies all winter, I got no time for mid-April snowstorms.
You're going to love this, Scott. We got another 10 inches overnight coming right now outside my pad, brother. It just never lets up.
Oh, my God. What? It's snowing right now. You're getting another 10 inches right now?
I blame the Astros because they're supposed to be in town. We'll blame them. It's the garbage can's fault. Yeah.
I believe that. They deserve it. I think they deserve everything they're getting this year. So I saw the Mets land in that blizzard, and the players were making fun of it. They were like, we're at Lambeau Field. But you're used to it. You've seen this many times, right? Like, it never ends. When does your season actually end, and it's like, you know, springtime and you can go outside and like, or do you have, is it flirting with it a little bit? You go out one day, because I remember one day at opening day or whatever, it was like 70 and sunny, and then what the hell happened?
Yeah. Dude, Colorado is not normal, as well you know. There are two seasons here, brother. Hiking and hockey. And you can't go by the calendar because it'll mess you up. Like you said, April will be 70, 30, 50, 70. And this stuff that's coming down right now, it'll all be gone by Saturday. So, yeah, it's just two modes, brother, hiking and hockey. And yesterday we had hiking. Today we got hockey. Tomorrow we'll have hockey, and hopefully it moves on out of here.
All right, so Sean Keeler's with us from The Post in Denver. I have to ask you, let's start with, before we talk about all these other teams, I want to start with the Avalanche because they're really the best team in town, I think. You know, a lot of people think they're, you know, going to play for a Stanley Cup again, and that's how good they've been. And then they get struck with the Hanta, as I call it. The Hanta has caught up with the Avs, and now all of their games are being canceled left and right. Tell me what happened. Do you know any of the details of kind of like what happened? Because I, believe it or not, I got it at Christmas. It was the worst thing ever. I got like, I mean, I was sick as a dog. And I mean, I was coughing every 10 seconds, 24 hours a day till I got admitted to the hospital. Most people don't know that story, but it's true. Then today I got my second shot. I actually, you know, want to know what happened. How did they get it? And do they know how they got it? And like, how did it spread and stuff like that?
It's vague, but the whispers have pointed to some of the younger guys on that roster. Not in a point your fingers kind of way, but it's not one of those, like, what was it last year? The Cardinals went out to a casino kind of deal, and it just ruins the season. We haven't heard any of that here yet. But the good news is apparently one of those rookies, Bo Bynum, checked out today, and they're thinking everybody is going to be cleared by Wednesday, and that it sucks that they've had to move these games off the calendar, but they're thinking it's not going to be one of those two-week deals for anybody important. Well, all these teams are important coming down the stretch, especially when you're chasing the President's Trophy. But I think they think they're over the worst of it, and they don't think that it's a federal case. Let's put it that way.
I'll tell you what, I want that President's Cup like I want chlamydia. I'm not interested in that thing. That thing's bad luck. Honestly.
That's right.
I don't want anything to.
The Memorial San Jose Sharks President's Trophy.
Yeah.
The Sharks win every year.
Yeah, no thanks. I don't want that one. I don't even want that Western Conference trophy. I want the Stanley Cup. They know how to win them in Denver. They've won their share. So I want no part of these other like minuscule trophies. Thanks a lot. But, you know, here's the deal. They lost the Kings game, and then they lost another two Kings games and a Blues game. You know what? Those are games. It's unbelievable to me what's happened to the Blues since they won the cup, right? Like, so they've just fallen on their face. They just don't matter. The Coyotes passed them, for Christ's sakes, over the weekend in the standings. I mean, honestly, like, so if I'm, you know what the Avalanche playing the Blues reminds me of? The Rangers playing the Devils. They just played them four games in a row and took 8 points from them and slept with their wives. That's how easy it was. So don't you think the Avs would have beat up on the Blues?
That's who they want. I think fans want the Blues. I don't think they're scared of the Wild. It's weird because, you know, you talk about the Cups here, and you and I remember 96 and 01. But, man, it's been 20 years. Like, we're forgetting how long it's been since they've actually done the deed here in Denver. It's crazy that it's been that long and celebrating your 20 years. But they want the Blues. I think they think that's a good matchup for them for a lot of reasons. But I don't know if they're scared about anybody. The Wild's been out there, too, is one that people have been kind of circling. I think they're just taking this, you know, the terrible cliche of kind of getting through one series at a time, because at this time last year, well, at least going into the playoffs last year, this was the Denver team that everybody thought was going to make a championship run and would have a ticker tape parade and would go the furthest in the playoffs, and it ended up being right. The other Denver Winter team that did that. So we're all kind of, you know, we kind of joked that before the Jamal Murray injury, and I know we're going to talk about that too a little bit, but that was going to be the opposite, and we'd expect more from the Nuggets, and the Avs would do more. So maybe that's what happens this time around.
Do you think, Sean, that because they're playing in Vegas next week, like Monday and Wednesday or something like that, and, you know, in the T-Mobile in Sin City, and that is just the greatest, I think, the best two teams in the West going head-to-head. And it seems so far to me that the Avs have played better than the Knights a little bit, but I still think that they're the most dangerous team that could get in your way in the West. Now, I'm sure there's going to be one sleeper that no one anticipates that's going to start playing great hockey like the Stars did, right? But do you anticipate... because I think those games Monday and Wednesday in Vegas are going to be huge. And the Avs have shown, because they had a stretch where they sucked and people were like making fun of them and saying, and I was too, I'm like, they're overrated. They're overrated. And then all of a sudden they turned it on again and now they're kicking everyone's ass. And I'm starting to see the light that I'm pretty stupid, but I've been called way worse. Do you think that they can beat the Vegas Golden Knights in the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, but their goaltending's got to be on point. The thing that the Knights have, besides the experience, and more recent, you know, for an expansion team too, more recent experience of going further and closing the deal, is their goaltending's better. And I think that's still the big, I mean, that's the elephant in the room here. Like, again, we go back to nostalgia of those Cup teams here. It was Patrick Waugh. It was pretty good.
Yeah, he was really,
and the Knights have that now. Yeah, he's pretty decent. The Knights have that. And I think people here are kind of like, yeah, we like Grubby. Yeah, he's been good. And, you know, we've traded for some depth there. But it's kind of a shrug. And you know this, the what makes the Stanley Cup playoffs, well, a lot of things make it the best postseason event. That and the NCAA tournament, one of the best two in North America.
I agree.
Are the home fans... the intensity of the home fans and the hot goalie. Like you can ride those two things and you can make a 4 seed look dangerous all of a sudden, or a 5 seed comes charging out of there. And then everybody, it's not the NBA. It's not a star calls, star driven playoffs where those guys get it. And you can kind of pull your way through. If you're LeBron or Kawhi, maybe not Kawhi, whomever, it's different. And that's what's fun and also what's scary if you're a Mavs fan about these playoffs. Because, yeah, you've got the best team on paper, but once Lord Stanley's Cup goes up, all the rules go out, and we're back to that big digging on the Sharks again. Having the best record and the best roster doesn't mean squat, brother. It's a different deal.
You're right. And you know what else? I thought they went out and got Dubnyk, right? And then Grubauer got hurt, like right then. They didn't go out and get Dubnyk after he got hurt. They actually got him before he got hurt, unless I'm tripping. And now they've got him. Thank God they got him, because everyone said they were thin to begin with just Grubauer. They were like, they don't have any goaltending. And meanwhile, Fleury is, you know, he's juggling greatness again. He's number four all time. And I'm convinced. I know everyone thinks Robin Leonard's better. They gave him all that money. I'm convinced unequivocally that Flower's better with his 3 Stanley Cup rings, and he's 4th all time in the history of the league. And you're selling me some guy from Long Island that had a good season. Screw that. I'm starting the Flower every game. Robin Leonard's been sitting on his ass because Flower's been playing so great. And I think that's a problem for the Avs. We'll see, though. I think the Avs' speed is phenomenal. You know, what I want to do, though, I want to break and get Sean. Can we get him a cold beer, Mafia? Can we get him a gigantic cold beer? And then what we'll do is we'll come back, and I want to talk about – there it is. Listen to that. Oh, God, the size of that beer. You're going to need it with that snowstorm tonight. So we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the Nuggets and Murray's injury. And then – we're going to spend some time, at the very least, talking about how crappy the Rockies are in that series they just had with the Mets. And then we're going to talk about how crappy your Broncos are. and their quarterback and see what they're going to do in the draft. So we got all that coming up with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. His wife is screaming at him to go outside and start shoveling. He just gave her the finger. There's a fight brewing. He said, I'm finishing this interview with Pharrell.
Sports Grid is available on the radio, internet, TV, satellite.
And don't forget
our mobile app. So if you're not getting it,
you're just not trying.
Keep it right here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So Sean was going at it with his wife, and then she started yelling at him. He gave her the finger. Then she threw an entire pot of hot cocoa on his face. Right now, he's got a towel with ice in it. He's injured. The whole thing. He said he can still finish the interview, though. It's unbelievable. The snow, what it does to people, their moods, they just start snapping on one another. It's like The Shining. He may end up eating her tonight.
It's The Shining, brother. Yeah, was it Shelley Duvall? I'm Shelley Duvall. My wife's Jack Nicholson. That's how we play it here at Boulder County.
Remember the scene?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do you remember the scene in the bar when he went into Lloyd to the when he went into the bar and he ordered his bourbon and the bartender just kept telling him that it was on the house and he was just sitting and the guy spilled on him and he told him and he said, you know, I remember you. You chopped up your family. That was great.
Don't give her any ideas. The night is young. Yeah, I do. Don't give her any ideas, man.
All right. So let me ask you about all your crappy teams. Although I don't think the Nuggets are crappy. I like the Nuggets. I think they have a legitimate shot at some kind of success. But obviously, when Murray went down, I was watching the game, right? I watch all West Coast games. I'm up late doing the show. I'm watching Utah and the Lakers right now. I watch the Denver if they're on. I'll watch every game, every night. It doesn't matter. I'll watch. I'm up till 2, 3 in the morning. So I'm watching the game, and he goes down the lane 100 miles an hour like he does, and he's going to go to the left side to the 10, and he busts a move. He's got, you know, freedom in a bucket, you know, waiting to happen. And I saw that leg plant and give way, and I knew right away I saw it buckle. And he went down in a heap, and he was in agony. And you knew it wasn't normal. It was like Clay Thompson type agony, where he knew that it was gone, and it was a blowout. And then he refused the wheelchair, and they carried him off shoulder to shoulder. All the rest, but we all know what happened. And it's what's the reaction since it happened? And you know, I know they keep saying they have enough. Aaron Gordon said we have enough without him. I don't actually believe that. I still think they have a good team. I won't deny that they can fill it up. But you lose a piece like that, that's a major problem.
Yeah, and we're back to talking about the playoffs again. I mean, Jamal Murray has made his name last August in that bubble. And he had a pretty good playoff in 2019, too. People forget that because they didn't finish the. Let's just say they I don't want to say choked, but had a home court against the Blazers in the semis the year before. But he's been a 24-25 point scorer in the playoffs each of the last two, and they've had long series. I mean, we're looking at these guys' postseason resumes, and just the last 2 years they've played like 35 postseason. Just insane numbers,
right?
Because they hung in there, and like last year, those two game sevens that they had to extend being down 3-1 twice. He's been so good for them in clutch situations, in clutch win or go home moments, that I don't think we know right now what the damage is of a 20 point. Let's see, he's a 50-40-90 kind of guy. Field goals, three-pointers, free throws. You know what you're missing there. But we don't know until we get them in the postseason when they've got, you know, it's possession by possession. And again, we're back to what's different about the NBA from the NHL that way, is it is a star time. It is driven by names. And this is a guy who is starting to get those calls and starting to get that respect. Our friend Nikola Jokic is still working on that, but you know that's a guy that was getting there and was becoming national and making this team national on the playoffs. It's a playoff sport. It's a playoff league. And that's where I think it's really, really going to be felt. Now people are kind of just do what you can and try to kind of patch it up and mandate it so you get to the games that count.
So, I mean, what are they doing playing Morris and Campazzo a lot? I like the kid. I think he's crazy on the floor. Campazzo, he's all over the place. Like, I watched him guard.
He's not even a kid.
No, he's a grown man from Europe. I seen a guy chasing Curry around like a mosquito, driving him crazy, but he still lit him up. But I think the guy can ball. Without a doubt, he can ball. But you do not lose 21, 4, and 5 every night across the board. And what he did methodically with Joker inside-outside game, it was sickening. I mean, the guy's talent exploded, just like you just expressed, onto the scene like never before in the last couple seasons. And last year in Orlando, it was ridiculous. And you don't lose that and then go with Morris's staggering 10 a game and Campazzo's 5 and tell me you have anything but a problem on your hands.
You don't. You have to kind of get it from other places. It's going to be more shots from Michael Porter Jr., who is kind of settling into, I'm that third, you know, people think, oh, Aaron Gordon, he's the third big name on the Nuggets. Everyone says nationally because of the time he spent on both coasts. Nah, it's MPJ. It's the Missouri kid. Like, that's the guy who's now having to step up and has been pretty good these last three games. And Gordon offensively really hasn't since he's been here, but they haven't had to have him be that. It's like, just go defend guys. Go be tough. Just be you, and you'll get dunks, and you'll get great looks from our point center, and we'll figure it out. Well, now everybody's got to pick up more of the rope. And tonight, you know, the Memphis game is still going here over my shoulder, and they're in the second OT, and Will Barton's having a field day. They need that because they don't even have Monte Morris tonight, who's going to be out a week and maybe longer. With some leg issues that he's dealing with. So they're playing your boy Campazzo. He's the starting point guard, and he's going to be getting 30 minutes for about the next week. So get ready for it. You like your Argentine basketball, brother, you're going to get in Denver for about a week.
I don't mind. Listen, he's got, once again, he's 1 of 8 from the floor. He's a disaster. But I think the guy burns. He really hustles his ass off. He's all up in your shack. I mean, this guy is so in your face. But I love Porter. I love Porter. I love Gordon. I love Joker. That's just long and big, okay? Somebody, you know, I actually think, believe it or not, and they're playing Barton 40 minutes tonight. I think Barton has to convert himself into a complete Renaissance man, badass point guard, shooting guard, small forward, because that's what he is already, is a small forward. But the fact is, he can fill it up. I like the guy. He can score. He's got 28 tonight. He's pimping out with 5 threes. I think that's the guy that has to pick up the slack, because they can't just have all these monsters out there. Now, I love Porter, and I think Gordon can dominate as well. There's no doubt that they're big and long, but they lose that strike, like that venomous rattlesnake strike in Murray, where he step back, bang, step back, bang, step back, drag, jab, step, drive, finish, and one, foul, getting to the 10, step back, losing the defender, shaking for space. They don't have that, and the only guy that remotely has it at all is Barton.
Yeah, and then he's going off tonight, but that hasn't been an every night thing for him. And in fact, they've been missing that a lot in the last 3 years as he's battled injuries. And he wasn't even at, I mean, he was at the bubble, but then he left. He wasn't even able to play that series last year. So I think they kind of don't know how he would be in a postseason situation. But yeah, he's there too, and someone said to me over the weekend, how do you ask more from Nikola Jokic than what you're getting right now? And I don't know, but to your point, they've got to find it, because this is an also in the playoffs. You know, it's NBA Jam time. You need guys who are just on fire and have absolutely no fear. And like we talked about a little few minutes ago, that's where Murray was the biggest. I think he gets bored like a lot of guys do with the regular season. I don't blame him. Again, it's a playoff league. It's a playoff sport, playoff money. You don't get bored in the postseason. And I wonder if there's somebody who's going to be able to take, like you said, just the ice, just be that guy and be that shooting ninja and not have any fear of what the repercussions are. That's yet to be determined, man.
All right, so I just want to ask you, because I got a couple minutes here. I want to ask you about the Rockies real quick. I cannot believe they frankly, did the Arenado deal, because I knew it'd go to Bush and just start tearing it up and become like playing the World Series within 2 years. You know, the Cardinals, those miserable mother forellers, they're always in there playing for a world championship when you least expect it. They're always in the playoffs. They always sell out. The place is amazing. And then you guys get rid of him, and he goes there and goes off, rocks off. I mean, you basically deserve to suck, don't you? After some of the moves they've made, the team deserves to suck. And you're getting exactly what you asked for.
Yeah. The owners and the GM, Jeff Breidich, who made that deal, the president, CEO of this club, Dick Monfort. Yeah, karma's a B word, man. I mean, and they're getting it hard. And they're going to be getting it for quite a few months. And it's funny how that happens when you turn away a Hall of Famer. We're back to making Luke Brock parallels to the Cubs in the 60s or 64 when they pulled that deal off. Like, never trade. Like, you know the golden rule of the National League, man. Never trade a Hall of Famer to the Cardinals, because you are never going to win that. Because you're going to give them a trophy, and you're going to give you about another decade of irrelevance. And so, yeah, that's hey, we've got the All-Star game. And we're going to have a snow out instead of a chance to lose to the Astros tomorrow. So it's all good here this week.
I couldn't even believe they beat the Mets on Saturday in the second game of the doubleheader, because they suck so bad. They hadn't won in like 3 weeks. So anyway, and there's only been 3 weeks of the season. So anyway, I wanted to say one other thing about the Cardinals. I had a roommate in college, and he was a Cardinal fan. I still know him to this day. I hate his guts, and he's the greatest guy ever, and I hate him because he's a Cardinal fan. Guy used to run around the apartment in his Cardinal underwear, like running in front of me, jumping up and down as the Cardinals were winning World Series, and I was sitting there. I'm a Pirate fan, and my team has sucked my entire life. I wanted to kill him with an axe. Secondly, I got to ask you about the Broncos and your lame-ass quarterback that everybody knows isn't going to get it done there. What are they going to do? They talked about getting everybody. I got 60 seconds. I know that's not a lot of time, but there's not much else to say about them, is there?
No, and the short answer is they're going to talk quarterback, and I think they're going to go defense. I think that's it's going to be all this smoke and mirrors and excitement, and Vic Fangio's going to go, yeah, I'll take Micah Parsons. Now, I could be wrong, but, boy, this is a pretty boring team, and this is what boring does, man. They're just happy to try to win 8 games. That's kind of where the Broncos are right now.
Hi. Is John Elway, he's so beloved there, it doesn't matter what he does, he just gets a pass?
Yes and no. I think people, it's kind of worn thin, as you imagine. People are figuring out that Super Bowl 5 years ago that feels like 10 was a lot more about Peyton Manning and Von Miller than it was about John Elway and what they built. But he's not calling the shots, allegedly anymore. They've got George Payton, the old Vikings number two, doing that. And I know you're excited about the Vikings postseason history and how that'll translate.
Oh, yeah.
Denver. I know. I'm a Midwesterner.
I'd rather have
family in the blood. So.
I'd rather have George Patton running my team, to be honest with you. Hey, Sean, you're the best. What a blast you were tonight on the show. Just fantastic. I love you. I'll talk to you again real soon. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All
All right, so just so you know, the Lakers are getting their ass beat tonight, and they've already thrown in the towel. They're down 92-71 with 9 minutes left, so that's in the bag. The Nuggets are up 5, 139-134 over the Grizzlies in double overtime with 9 seconds left. I have to see what the line was on that game, because remember I took the Grizzlies with the number and 7. Oh, they're up 5. I had the Nuggets winning and the Grizzlies plus 7, so we'll see how that ends up. The Heat winners over the Rockets, Pistons by 4 over the Cavs. Bulls beat the Celtics. Warriors beat the Sixers. Curry had 49. Spurs beat the Pacers and Indy easily. Wizards a big win. Westbrook had another huge night. Suns in overtime, 128-127 over the Bucks. Going on right now, Mariners up 4-2 on the Dodgers after 5 innings in Seattle in the Pacific Northwest. Texas up 6-2 on the Angels in Anaheim, bottom 7. Brewers lead the Padres 2-1 at Petco, middle of the 6th. Red Sox winners over the White Sox. Giants 2-0 over the Phillies. Cardinals bomb the Nats 12-5. Rays 4-1 over the Royals. Twins A's was canceled because of the Hanta. Sharks lead the Knights in Vegas after 2 periods, 2-1. I can't believe that. Lightning in overtime beat the Canes 3-2. Panthers doubled up the Jackets 4-2. Stars 3-2 in a shootout over the Wings. Predators 5-2 all over the Blackhawks in Smashville. Senators upset the Flames in Calgary 4-2. Oilers 4-1 over the Habs in Edmonton, and the Wild 1 in Phoenix in the desert 5-2. So that's everything. What a night. I mean, Curry just rocks off tonight with that 49 spot and 10 trays. A guy was hitting daggers from 30 feet. Great show. Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. Mafia, great job. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern on Coast to Coast. Tell your friends. We're on SiriusXM Channel 204, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces. We're everywhere. We're unavoidable. Sports Grid Radio. Good night.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.